Good morning, Devin.
Good morning.
Nailed it. If you missed last week, you didn't miss much. Anyways, it's so great to see everyone today. If you're new, either in person or online, I want to welcome you. I'm Pastor Bert, and I'm glad you're joining us today. Now, you may be wondering, though, looking at the title of my talk, if you've got your outline, why I'm talking about Thanksgiving. Have I lost my directions? Well, of course, our neighbors to the south are celebrating their Thanksgiving this week. But last month, we were in the middle of a bit of a series going through the acronym Devon and going through the different things, what that represents for us as a church here. And I didn't want to break that up then. So I thought, we'll touch on this as the next, our neighbors to the south, their Thanksgiving comes. We'll hit Thanksgiving at that time and talk about that. And plus, that I'm always looking for an excuse to eat more turkey. So there it is. The reality is that I don't think we can talk about being thankful too much in our day and age. Because thankfulness and gratitude seem to be foreign concepts to so many people. We whine about any little, you know, discomfort we may have. We get annoyed at anyone who holds us up in traffic or in the checkout line. We envy those who seem better off than us. We want instant gratification. We want convenience, comfort, and care for ourselves while having little or no concern for others. Now, to be fair, I suppose I should also mention the attitudes of those outside of the church. You know, this lack of gratitude that seems to be prevalent in our culture, I think it comes out of this, somewhere it came, this feeling of entitlement that people have. Where it came from, I have no idea. But it seems to be running rampant in our culture today, doesn't it? That entitlement. And folks, I get it. It's hard to be thankful for anything when we think we're entitled to everything. The entitled don't say thank you. They say it's about time, right? What took you so long? I think we forget that the only thing that the Bible says we are actually entitled to is hell. It's only because of God's grace that we have been saved from that entitlement, that we can and will live with Jesus forever. In a letter written by the early church leader named Paul to the church in Ephesus, he says this: God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. So none of us can boast about it. This shows me that as followers of Jesus, we should never have an attitude of entitlement, but of humility, of gratitude, and gratefulness. No matter what circumstances life throws at us. And I think Paul may have had this in mind when he wrote his first letter to the church that was in Thessalonica, Greece. In this letter, he addresses a lot of the good and the bad things of life. And then he sums it up with a few simple words found in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. He says, "Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ." Any trivia buffs here today? Anybody not willing to be? Okay. Well, how many of you know what's the shortest verse in the Bible? I heard it. Where is it located? Didn't know there'd be a test. I didn't bring chocolate bar, sorry. John 11:35. Well, what we just read is considered to be the second shortest verse. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. And you can only do that if you have an attitude of gratitude, not entitlement. Folks, the reality is life happens, right? I spoke about that last week, if you're here. There is good and there is bad. But no matter what we're going through, Paul admonishes us to look past the bad, to be thankful for the good. And in fact, his life, I think, is a great example for us to see this in action, being lived out, and to learn from it for ourselves. So that's what we're going to do today. And to start, I want you to notice Paul's attitude when life is bad. That's your first point, life is bad. You probably looked and thought, oh, 2 points, this is going to be a good one. Nice and short, right? Life is bad. There are a lot of things that Paul was not thankful for in his life. Remember, he didn't say be thankful for everything. That'd be crazy. Be thankful in the midst of whatever, right? In everything. Paul's saying that no matter what you're going through, there is always something to be thankful for. You might think, well, that's easy for him to say. I mean, think about it. Paul didn't have it all that bad, did he? He had a great position in the church. He got to travel all the time. He's been to Greece, to Italy, to Turkey. I've never been to any of those places. How hard could it have been, right? Well, I'm going to let Paul share a little bit of his life with you that he wrote to the in his second letter to the Corinthian church. He says, I've worked much harder, been jailed more often, beaten up more times than I can count, and at death's door time after time. I've been flogged 5 times with the Jews' 39 lashes, beaten by Roman rods 3 times, pummeled with rocks once. I've been shipwrecked 3 times and immersed in the open sea for a night and a day. In hard traveling year in and year out, I've had to ford rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with foes. I've been at risk in the city, risk in the country, endangered by desert sun and sea storm, and betrayed by those I thought were my brothers. I've known drudgery and hard labor, many a long and lonely night without sleep, many a missed meal, blasted by the cold, naked to the weather. You know, once in a while I hear somebody say, I wish I could have been in the early church. Following Jesus would have been so much easier back then. Would you like me to read that bio again? Right? Those people have no idea what they're saying. We have it so, so easy today, yet we take it for granted. Do you really want a life like Paul had? If you really want to live in that New Testament style of church, actually, you still can today. I'll tell you how. Sell all your stuff, get a one-way ticket to Iran or China or Indonesia or Sudan or Somalia, and start preaching about Jesus. It won't take long for you to find out exactly how wonderful it was back then. I don't think Paul was thankful for the bad things in his life. But somehow he'd learned how to be thankful even in those bad things. And that's because he discovered and experienced our second point, that God is good. There's an old mantra in the church. I'm sure you're familiar with it. God is good and all the time, right? I think that was Paul's attitude. No matter what he was going through, He seems to always find a reason to be thankful, no matter what he was experiencing at any given time. And as we've already seen, he went through a few difficult times, didn't he? Some hardship, some persecution for his faith in Jesus. You know, living in Canada, the church has been pretty insulated from persecution. But as I believe we've seen in the past few years, that can change very quickly. It seems like it only takes the signing of one bill for Christianity to be outlawed, especially as our culture moves farther and farther away from God's truth and morality. And even if we don't see this happening in our lifetimes, there's still plenty of suffering in this world, isn't there? Some of it you'll never taste. Other parts you'll experience in spades. Remember that in it all, there is always something to be thankful for. That's why Paul says, again, our text, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Despite all that may happen to you, you are to continue being thankful. Refuse to let any incident, any circumstance, any event, any calamity, or other experience rob you of your joy in the Lord, which flows from a spirit of thanksgiving. So before I finish, though, I want to give you a bit of an inventory of some of the things that Paul was thankful for, okay? No matter what he was going through, and that can help us remain thankful when life takes a turn for the south. When things are bad. First thing Paul was thankful for is God's faithful provision. God's faithful provision. There was one point in Paul's life, he was in the middle of this huge storm on a ship, been tossed about for 2 weeks straight. 2 weeks straight. You wouldn't even have anything to get rid of by that long. 2 weeks tossed about. And the ship is about to be run aground, it says. Yet look, in the midst of this situation, the early church history book of Acts tells us this. It says, then he, Paul, took some bread, gave thanks to God before them all, and broke off a piece and ate it. I love that. The crew is stressing and panicked, right? And Paul, in the midst of this turmoil, expresses his thanks for God's provision of some stale bread and his providential care. We need to remember to be thankful that God truly cares for us and will provide exactly what we need when we need it. Another thing Paul was thankful for was the family of faith. Family of faith. In nearly every single letter that Paul writes to the churches at that time, he talks about how thankful he is for them, for their friendship, for their faith, for the grace they show, for their love of God and their love towards him. To the Romans, he wrote, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. To the Corinthians, I always thank my God for you. To the Ephesians, I have not stopped thanking God for you. To the Philippians, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. And to the church in Colossae, he says, we always pray for you and we give thanks to God. When I think of the times when I've had health issues or just needed somebody's help, I'm so thankful for the family of faith. My brothers and my sisters in Christ who have visited me, helped me, prayed for me. I truly pray that no matter what the world may throw at you, that you always find a reason to be thankful for your church family. I pray that each of us will give one another more and more reasons to be thankful for belonging to such a great family of faith. Third thing Paul was thankful for was fortuitous blessing. Now, these are those unexpected things, right, that God brings into our lives that are so encouraging and right when you need it, usually. Again, in the book of Acts, the author says, some of the followers in Rome heard about us and came to meet us at the market of Appius and at the Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and was encouraged. Paul had just finished a long, difficult voyage to sea, right? And God sent him some of his friends from the church there to cheer him up. Folks, God knows when we need a pick-me-up. Maybe things aren't going very well at work. Maybe tensions are rising at home. Maybe we're not feeling 100%. Maybe that dream just seems just too far away. It's just out of reach. I'm so grateful for the encouragement that God has given me in difficult times over the years at just the right time. Because believe it or not, pastoring isn't all a bed of roses. There are actually some expectations and some criticisms and stresses that can drain and discourage and drag a person down. But over and over, God would send someone with some good news or encouragement at the right time that would just remind me of God's care and help. Paul thanked God for his fortuitous blessings and was encouraged. And we all need to thank God and be encouraged by those unexpected blessings he pours into our lives. Finally, all through Paul's writings, throughout the New Testament, we find him thankful for God's phenomenal grace. And yes, I had to resort to phonics to find a word that fit in there. Paul says to the church in Corinth, because of the extraordinary grace of God at work in you, they will pray for you and long for you. Praise God for his incredible, unbelievable, indescribable gift. You know, no matter what Paul faced, he was always thankful for God's gift of grace that was manifested through Jesus Christ. To Paul, there were no words to describe how amazing God's grace really was. Through God's grace, we've been given new life. A new life through the death and the resurrection of his Son. And Paul makes known his thankfulness for God's grace over and over again in his writings. As we see in the first letter to the Corinthian church, I always give my God, thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. And there are really no words to adequately describe God's grace that has been freely given to humanity. Oh, but we've tried. People try, right? And hymn writers have given worthy effort to this with the songs like Amazing Grace, Marvelous, Infinite, Matchless Grace, Grace Divine, Rich Grace, Wonderful, the Matchless Grace of Jesus, right? But despite all the superlatives, they still fall far short of the indescribable gift of God's grace. That grace that God has offered to you, to me. And I'm wondering today, have you accepted God's free gift of grace? Have you put your faith and trust in his Son Jesus for the salvation of your soul? The Bible says there's really no other way to come to God but by faith in his Son. Too many of us, make it to heaven based on our good merits, right? As long as this outweighs this, I'm good, right? But Paul shows us in his letter to the Roman church that everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. What's his standard, you may ask? Well, Jesus spelled it out actually for us. It was recorded by one of his original followers named Matthew. He said, "You are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." Yay. The standard that God has set for people to be allowed into his heaven is perfection. Anybody there? It says we've all fallen short of that perfection. So what hope is there for any of us then, right? One hope, only one hope, that someone who is perfect can transfer his perfection onto us. And that's exactly what happens when you ask Jesus to be the leader of your life. The Bible calls the perfection God's looking for righteousness. And God, through Christ, has transferred his righteousness unto those who put their faith in him. Listen to these couple verses. "Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So God's taking care of it. He's taking care of our imperfection problem, our sin problem, for all who will believe in him. He sent Jesus to live a perfect life and then to die in your place. And if you call on him to forgive you and lead your life from now on, he will forgive you, he will give you a new life, and one day he will welcome you into his heaven. And if you're here today and you'd like to make sure that you will be welcomed into God's heaven, you need to put your faith and trust in him and let Jesus lead your life as you live for him. If you want to do that, I want to help you, lead you in a simple prayer that I trust will help you express that decision you want to make. There's nothing special about this prayer, folks. What matters to God is the desire and attitude of your heart. So with that in mind, would we bow our heads together, please? And if that's you today, just pray along silently with me. Dear God, I admit I haven't been living for you. I've been doing things my own way, only for me. And I really haven't been giving you much, if any, thought in my life. And I'm sorry for that. I now know that you love me and only want the very best for me. So please forgive me and make me perfect in your eyes. I believe that Jesus came to earth to die for me and restore my relationship with you. So I ask him to be the leader of my life from this moment on. Thank you. Thank you for receiving me into your forever family, your church. And I pray that you would help me to rejoice always, to pray continually, and to be thankful in every circumstance of life, because you are good to me. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Band, come back. Before we finish with another song, if you did pray that prayer for the first time, could you please let me know? I'll stick around here after the service, or you can fill in one of those connect cards that are in the back of the seat, or online or on the church app. You can fill it in any of those spots, because we'd love to connect with you. I do have some resources to help you as you start this new life with Jesus, but as well, we want to come alongside you if there's anything else that you need in with regards to your faith or just life. And so I hope you'll do that, and I look forward to that. I'm going to turn it back to Cole now, and we're going to close with another song.